Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. Sri Shukadeva said, "For the intelligent among men, I have given you all the answers in response to the inquiring of your good self about the human being on the threshold of death. They who desire the lustre of the Absolute, worship the master of the Vedas Brihaspati, Indra, the king of heaven, is there for the ones desiring the strength of the senses, sex, and the Prajapatis, the strong progenitors, are there for those who desire offspring. The goddess Durga is there for those who desire the beauty of the material world. The fire god is there for the ones desiring power. For wealth there are the Vasus, a type of demigod, and the incarnations of Rudra, Lord Shiva, are there for those who wish strength and heroism. For a good harvest, the mother of the demigods Aditi is worshipped. Desiring heaven, one worships her sons. For those desiring royal riches, there are the Vishwadeva demigods, and to be of commercial success, there are the Sadhya gods. The Ashwinis, two demigod brothers, are there for the ones desiring longevity. For a strong body, Mother Earth is worshipped, and those who want to maintain their position and be renowned respect the goddesses of the earth and the heavens. Aspiring beauty, there are the heavenly Gandharvas. Those who want a good wife seek the girls of the heavenly society, the Apsaras and Urvashis, and anyone who wants to dominate others is bound to the worship of Brahma, the head of the universe. Yajna, the lord of sacrifice, is worshipped for tangible fame, and for a good bank balance, Varuna, the treasurer, is sought. But those who desire to learn worship Shiva himself, while for a good marriage his chaste wife Uma is honored. For spiritual progress, the Supreme Truth, Lord Vishnu and his devotees, is worshipped. For offspring and their care, one seeks the ancestral, the residence of Pitriloka. Pious persons are sought by those who seek protection, while the demigods in general are there for standing strong in life. The godly Manus, the fathers of mankind, are there for those desiring a kingdom, but the demons are sought for defeating enemies. The ones desiring sense gratification are bound to the moon, Chandra, while those who are free from desire worship the Supreme Personality in the beyond. Whether one is free from desire, is full of it, or else desires liberation, someone of a serious consideration, with all his heart in devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, will honor the original Supreme Personality. All these types of worshippers for sure develop in their worship of the highest benediction in this life, unflinching, spontaneous attraction to the Supreme Lord through association with his pure devotees. The knowledge leading to the limit of the complete withdrawal from the whirlpool of the material modes results in the satisfaction of the soul. In the transcendence of being detached from these modes, that satisfaction carries the blessings of the path of Bhakti Yoga. Being absorbed in the narrations about the Lord, who would then not act upon this attraction? Shaunaka said, "What is it that the king, the ruler of Bharata, after hearing all of this, wanted to know more from the son of Vyasadeva, the learned sage? O learned Sutta, explain those topics to us who are eager to hear about it, for in an assembly of devotees, those talks are welcome that lead to the narrations about the Lord. He, the king, that grandson of the Pandavas, was no doubt a great devotee, a great fighter who, playing with his toys as a child, enacted the activities of Krishna. And that must have also been true for the son of Vyasadeva, who, in the presence of all those devotees there, in his attachment to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, glorified by so many, proved to have all the great qualities. Except for the one who spends his time on the topics about the one held in the scriptures, the rising and setting sun only decreases the lives of the people. Are the trees not growing also? Are the blacksmith's bellows not also producing air? And are the beasts all around us not also eating and procreating? Must we then not also answer to our true nature? A person whose ear never reached the holy name of the one who delivers us from all evil is not better than a dog, a hawk, an ass, or a camel. The ears of a man who never heard of Vishnu, the one of the great step forward, are like those of snakes. And also the tongues of those who never sang the songs of worth aloud are as useless as those of frogs. Even carrying a heavy silk turban, the upper part of the body is just a burden, when that body never bows down to Mukunda, Krishna granting liberation. Just like hands that, not engaged in the worship of the Lord, are like those of a dead body, however decorated they are with glittering golden bangles. Like the eyes on the plumes of a peacock are the eyes of those men who do not see the forms of Vishnu, and like the roots of trees are their feet when they never visit the holy places of the Lord. Those mortals who never personally receive the dust of the feet of the pure devotees are dead while being alive, and a descendant of Manu, a man, is like a dead corpse breathing when he has never experienced the wealth of the aroma of the tulsi leaves of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Certainly, that heart is steel-framed that, despite being absorbed in chanting the name of the Lord, is not moved therewith by emotions of having tears in one's eyes and hairs standing on end. O Sutta Goswami, you express yourself so faithfully. And therefore, please tell us about the transcendental knowledge that the leading great devotee Shukadeva Goswami so expertly spoke about in response to the excellent questions of the king.